Okay, so today we're going to dive into this case, THV Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation. It's a California Supreme Court case. And basically, it boils down to this. Can a brand name drug maker be held liable for, you know, for damages caused by a generic version of a drug, even after, and this is the key, even after they've, you know, sold off the rights to that drug?
Yeah.
It really makes you think about, you know, corporate responsibility and where do the lines blur, especially in pharmaceuticals when you have, you know, this whole generic drug market. It's fascinating.
Yeah. And for our listeners out there who, especially those of you who are in law school, I mean, this really cuts to the heart of, you know, foreseeability and duty and, you know, how those concepts get applied in really complex situations.
Not just black and white.
Right. So we've got, you know, we've got some great material for this deep dive. We've got, you know, the podcast guidance that was provided to us. We've got the case brief, the standard brief from the THV Novartis case. And really what we're going to try to do today is extract the key insights from those materials.
And give those to our listeners.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's important to remember that, you know, this case, it involves, you know, alleged harm to twins.
Yeah.
So there's a human element to this.
Absolutely. This is real people's lives. So to start things off, let's go back to the very beginning and look at how this whole thing began. So back in 2007, there was a mother who was prescribed this drug called generic terbutaline. Now, terbutaline was a generic version of an asthma drug from Novartis called Breathine.
Right.
Here's the thing. It was prescribed off-label, meaning it wasn't actually prescribed for asthma. It was prescribed for preterm labor to try to delay that.
To prevent preterm labor.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, her twins, you know, in the legal documents, they're known as TH and CH. They allegedly developed autism and motor impairments as a result of their exposure to this terbutaline in utero.
Right. And the mother was prescribed the generic version.
Mm-hmm.
But the original drug was Breathine. And that was manufactured by Novartis.
Right.
But here's the thing. Novartis had sold the rights to Breathine back in 2001. So they hadn't owned this drug for, you know, 6 years.
Wow. But here's where it gets really, really tricky. Hmm. Novartis, when they owned Breathine, they were the ones who developed the original drug label.
Right.
All the warnings, all the information. And under federal law, and this is crucial, generic drug labels have to be the same as the brand name labels. They can't just change it up.
Right.
So the argument here from the plaintiffs was pretty interesting. They said that, okay, Novartis, you didn't do a good enough job of, you know, providing adequate warnings about the potential risks of terbutaline back before you sold the drug in 2001. Mm. And because the generic label had to be the same as yours, they're saying that led to the mother being prescribed a drug without, you know, adequate warnings.
Right. It's like they're saying that, you know, Novartis's, you know, alleged failure to warn, you know, followed the drug.
Yeah.
Even after they sold it.
Right. Right. So, of course, this ends up in court.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
And initially, the trial court sided with Novartis.
Right.
They dismissed the case, saying that Novartis didn't have a duty anymore after selling it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. On the surface. But hold on. Because the Court of Appeal actually disagreed. They reversed the trial court's decision.
Wow.
And this is what brought the whole thing to the California Supreme Court, because they saw this as a, you know, a totally new legal question.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about what they call post-divestiture innovator liability.
Right.
Which is basically saying, you know, even after you sell something, can you still be held responsible?
It's like, yeah, how long does that responsibility last?
Exactly. And in the world of pharmaceuticals, it gets even more complicated. So the California Supreme Court had to figure out this central question. Does a company like Novartis still have a legal duty to warn users about, you know, possible risks even after they've completely sold the rights to that drug? I mean, it's a tough one.
Yeah. And you would think, you know, intuitively, you'd say, no, they've sold it, they're done. But the California Supreme Court actually said yes.
Really?
Yeah. And Justice Cuellar, who wrote the majority opinion, he had a couple of key reasons for this.
Okay, I'm curious. Lay it on me.
So first, he emphasized that Novartis had this unique control over the initial and subsequent warning labels. And, you know, we've talked about this before, but generic drug makers, they have to stick to those labels, right?
They can't just deviate.
Right, exactly. So any warnings, any information on that label, that's all coming from Novartis.
So they set the tone from the very beginning.
Exactly. And the second thing that the court brought up was this idea of foreseeability. They said that Novartis should have been able to see that their original label was basically going to be the blueprint
right.
for all the generics that came after. And they should have realized that the companies buying the rights to the drug might not, you know, bother updating those warnings years down the line.
Right. Even if new information came up.
Exactly. So they're basically saying Novartis had a responsibility to make sure that label was as accurate and as complete as possible right from the start.
Yeah. Because that responsibility doesn't just vanish when you sell the drug.
Right. And to really solidify this, the court used what are called the Rolin factors.
The Rolin factors, what are those all about?
So those are criteria that California courts use to figure out if a duty of care exists in a certain situation.
Okay. So like a checklist of sorts.
Yeah, exactly. So in this case, the first factor was the foreseeability of harm. And the court found that was a huge factor. Because doctors and patients rely on the information on that drug label, even if they're using the generic version.
Yeah, you're not always thinking about who the original manufacturer was. You just see the drug and the information.
Exactly. So the court said it was very foreseeable that if that original label from Novartis wasn't good enough, it could cause harm.
Yeah, makes sense.
Right. The second factor was the moral blame. And the court pointed out that the plaintiffs were claiming that Novartis had downplayed the risks of terbutaline in their original labeling.
Oh, so it wasn't just that they maybe missed something.
Right. They were saying Novartis intentionally didn't give the full picture.
Wow. So that adds another layer to it.
Exactly. And then finally, they considered the policy considerations. And in this case, the California Supreme Court was really clear that they were putting patient safety first. They said that that was more important than the idea of corporate finality, which basically means that once a company sells something, their responsibility for it should end at some point.
So they were saying, in this case, patient safety trumps the idea that you can just wash your hands clean of something once you sell it.
Exactly. And they rejected Novartis's argument that just because they sold Brazine in 2001, they weren't responsible for anything that happened after, like what happened with those twins in 2007. Justice Queller was very clear. He said this harm was a foreseeable consequence of Novartis's potential negligence with that original label.
Right. But there was a dissenting opinion. Right.
No.
Not all the justices agreed.
Right. Yeah. Chief Justice Quintil Sakaye and Justice Kruger, they actually agreed with the idea of innovator liability. You know, that a brand name company should be responsible for the content of generic labels. But they didn't agree with extending that duty past the point where the company sold the drug.
Okay, so where did they draw the line?
Well, they were worried about creating what they called perpetual liability. They didn't like the idea that a company could be held responsible forever, you know, decades after selling something.
That seems a little extreme, yeah.
Right, and they gave this analogy. They said, imagine a car company designs a car, and then years later, another company copies that design. Should that original company still be responsible if there are defects in those later cars?
It's a good analogy. It really makes you think about, you know, where does that responsibility end?
Exactly. So their argument was basically, sure, innovator liability makes sense while the brand name company still owns the drug. You know, they're still profiting from it. But once they sell it, that connection gets weaker.
Right. So the fact that Novartis sold this drug 6 years before these alleged harms occurred, that was really important to the dissenting justices.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, you mentioned something about the case also dealing with a demurrer. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's a really interesting procedural point that came up. So a demurrer is basically a legal motion to dismiss a case early on. And in this case, the trial court had dismissed the case without giving the plaintiffs a chance to amend their complaint, you know, to maybe fix some issues or add more detail. So the California Supreme Court had to look at whether the plaintiffs could have potentially saved their case if they'd been given that chance. You know, could they have provided more facts or clarified things to make their arguments stronger?
So was the initial complaint strong enough on its own, or could it have been improved to be valid?
Right. And in this case, the California Supreme Court decided that the plaintiffs probably could have fixed things if they were allowed to. They had basically argued that Novartis's label was bad even before they sold the drug, and that this led to the harm suffered by the twins years later.
Okay. So they had the foundation of a good argument. They just maybe needed to flesh it out more.
Right.
Okay. So to kind of zoom out and look at the bigger picture here, why is this THV Novartis ruling so important?
Oh, I think it's huge for the pharmaceutical industry. It could mean that brand name companies might have a lot more responsibility for the long-term safety of generic versions of their drugs, even after they've sold them, even years later.
It's like the reach of their responsibility has gotten longer.
Exactly. And the California Supreme Court made it clear that patient safety is a top priority. And this case really shows how tort law is always changing. It's not just stuck in the past. Courts are always trying to figure out how old legal principles apply to new situations, especially in areas like the pharmaceutical industry where things are always changing.
Right, and where the impact on people's health is so great.
Exactly.
So just to recap, the main takeaway from THV Novartis is that in California, at least, those brand name drug companies can be held liable for harm caused by generic versions of their drugs, even if they sold those drugs a long time ago.
Right. And that's because they had control over the original warning labels, and the court said it was foreseeable that those labels would still be used and relied on by doctors and patients.
And for all those future lawyers listening, you know, pay attention to things like innovator liability, the idea of foreseeability, and how procedural rules like those around demurrers really matter. These are tools you're going to be using in your careers.
Absolutely.
And on that note, here's something for everyone to think about. After this ruling, how do you think drug companies are going to change their approach to drug labeling? And what could this mean for the price and availability of drugs, both brand name and generic, in the future?
Yeah, great questions. This is an evolving area of law.
Yeah.
And this case really brings up some big questions. I encourage everyone to do some more research, look into this case, and the whole idea of innovator liability. It's really fascinating stuff.
It is. And that's it for today's deep dive. See you next time.
See you then.